I'm John Munson with John Gatto. We're in our year-end membership drive here at Wisconsin Public Radio, reminding you that this is your radio station, listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio. Right now, during this drive, is your chance to make sure we're set to start 2016 in great financial shape. You make WPR programs possible as we head into the new year when you pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And you know, it is such an easy thing to do, giving to WPR. All it takes is a few minutes of your time, a gift of any amount, perhaps starting at maybe $10 a month.
Well, and the great thing is that donation will come back to you every single day in the form of great programming. Show your support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and give as generously as you can.
Your Route 51 host, Glenn Moberg, lives right here in north central Wisconsin and has his finger on the pulse of what's important in this area.
Well, here's an example of some of the shows that Glenn has been bringing to you over the last month or so. Not long ago, he talked with archaeologist Bob Birmingham, who's author of the book Skunk Hill, just published by the Wisconsin Historical Society. It's a book about exploring Native American community traditions in the early 20th century. That's an example of the kind of thing you get here every week on Route 51. It brings you stories that matter in this area and analysis and perspective from local experts. It's all possible thanks to listener support. You are an important part of Route 51. So make your pledge now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
During this holiday season, let the impact of your pledge go beyond great radio here on Wisconsin Public Radio. Let it go to people in the area who are in need. Ask for food for 20 when you give $60 or food for 40 when you give $120. Your thank you gift will provide meals to a Wisconsin food bank near you. That's important to know. Right here in this part of the state, people will be benefiting from your pledge and your gift at food for 20 or food for 40. So do two good things right now with your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
My name's Meg Marshall, and I'm from Weyerhaeuser, Wisconsin. I think today, especially with this crazy world we live in, it's more important than ever that people know what's going on in the world. This is not just about the United States, it's about the entire world. And the only place you find coverage of international issues to the depth that you find them on Wisconsin Public Radio is right here on Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Meg from Weyerhaeuser, Wisconsin. Join me as a sustainer of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Join Meg by making a pledge at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. John Munson with John Gatto today, asking for your support of WPR and specifically Route 51 during this year-end membership drive. Okay, so maybe your gift will be $10 a month. Maybe it's $20 a month. Well, whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
Wisconsin Public Radio listeners become Wisconsin Public Radio contributors, members, for various reasons. Giving to Wisconsin Public Radio is one way to make a difference and to help your local community with programs like Route 51.
Well, and here's another way to think about it. Your pledge today not only pays for the programs that you listen to, it also gives others the chance to discover Wisconsin Public Radio, just like you did once upon a time.
Mm-hmm.
Make
mm-hmm.
that difference with just $5 a month or whatever amount is comfortable for you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, I saw a comment recently from a listener who wrote in to say, I love people coming together in community to support WPR. Well, thank you for that comment.
I don't think either one of us could have, no matter how long we sat down and tried to figure some language out, we couldn't have said it better ourselves. That's a great comment. We agree completely. Membership drives are a great time for you and for us to share our enthusiasm. That's really important because, I mean, John and I have been working in the broadcasting business for a long time.
Wow.
But Wisconsin Public Radio is just something special. We wouldn't be here if we didn't have the same passion for this that you have as listeners. You need to understand that we're all in this together. Join the community in celebrating WPR. Make a pledge right now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and support the programs you enjoy every day.
time flies, and maybe it's been longer than you realize since you last gave to Wisconsin Public Radio. Think about it. Maybe this is the right time. We're asking you to keep your membership active and to do so today.
Think about your support of WPR like you think of other services you rely on and pay for. Like, well, I don't know. How about your internet or maybe your cell phone? Mm-hmm. Renew your support of WPR right now with an ongoing monthly gift. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 really helps.
And this pledge drive, you have a chance to do two good things at once. Ask for food for 20 when you give $5 a month, or food for 40 when you give $10 a month, and help out somebody who could use a meal right here in our area. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
If you're not already a sustainer, you can become one right now. Sustaining memberships just kind of keep going on and on. You don't have to think about it. You just know that you're helping to support the programs that you're listening to each and every day. It's easy to set up. It's convenient. Ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card. You can do that at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Remember, your gift is powerful. It really makes a difference. WPR.org. 888-202-2552, and thank you.
Fasten your seatbelt and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip.
I am a poor wayfaring stranger while traveling through this world of woe. Here there's no sea. In that bright world to which I go, I'm going there to see my father. I'm going there no more to roam. I'm only
give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door. I'm Glenn Moberg. Those words by Emma Lazarus at the base of the Statue of Liberty have defined our own image and the world's image of what America is. But today, in an environment of terror, fear, and innocent victims, some have been advocating exclusions to that imperative. No Muslims, no Syrians, no one from a list of 30 countries where there are concerns about religious extremism. Today on Route 51, we present a local perspective on the Syrian refugee crisis and the words of exclusion we hear from some of our political leaders. Catherine Grable Kondakani is a UW Stevens Point biology student who converted to Islam at the age of 21. She met her husband while studying in Germany, and he works today in central Wisconsin as an ophthalmic technician. She is working to get two family members, her father-in-law and mother-in-law, asylum in the United States. They are already here, afraid to go back to their Syrian homeland because of the ongoing civil war. Her husband has other relatives, some still in Syria, some in Europe. Catherine Grable Kondakani joined today by John Visti of Rhinelander, who spent 25 years in the Middle East working for nonprofit organizations on humanitarian assistance and economic development. He was in Palestine, Egypt, and Lebanon. We want to hear your thoughts on the Syrian refugee crisis. Should we be welcoming them into the United States and North Central Wisconsin, or should they be excluded? And what of the rhetoric of some of our politicians toward Muslims overseas and here at home? You can give us a call at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Or you can put a comment on our Route 51 Facebook page. Catherine, let's start with you. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your family situation. We understand that you're from Weston and you're studying biology.
Yes, I'm actually from Wausau. I am a Wausau East graduate. I lived in Germany for a long time before coming back to the United States with my husband, who's from Syria. We have three children, and my in-laws moved in with us 3 years ago after they had visited us over the summer.
Now, you converted to Islam at the age of 21. How did that happen?
I get that question a lot. I was actually reading the Quran at the time, and about halfway through I knew that I wanted to become Muslim, but I did a little bit more research first. By the time I had finished it, I absolutely knew, and I became a Muslim almost immediately after finishing the Quran.
What was it about the Quran and what you were reading that made you feel, this is what I want to be?
I think a lot of it is the very strict monotheism, but I also liked the parallels that I could see in the universe with what was written in the Quran and what was written in the Sunnah, so the sayings and the life of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. There are a lot of things that correspond well with science and with what is known, and that really intrigued me.
And you met your husband in Germany?
I met my husband in Germany. We were both studying at the university in Bonn, Germany, and he was studying pharmacy at the time. I was studying German, but we shared a kitchen, and that's how I got to know him.
Was he a U.S. citizen when you met him, or did he have to go through the process of becoming one?
He was not a citizen. He actually really dragged his feet a lot when I tried to convince him to move to America. It took about 4 years to convince him. He didn't speak any English. So we did have to go through the immigration process.
And as practicing Muslims now, where do you worship in central Wisconsin?
We worship here in Wausau. There is a satellite mosque here in Wausau that's associated with the Islamic Society of Central Wisconsin in Marshfield.
How many people go to the mosque here in Wausau? And with the bigger mosque in Marshfield, about how many people attend those services?
It's hard to say. It varies week by week because of jobs and whatnot, but I would say there are probably about 20 families here in Wausau that use the mosque regularly. In the greater central Wisconsin area, maybe about 60.
And how long have these families been here? How long have we had Muslims in central Wisconsin? Because you talk to some folks who aren't plugged into the fact that this is part of our reality in central Wisconsin, and they'll act like we don't have any.
They've really been here for decades. I know of one family in particular who came here, I would like to say, about 15 years ago. Both of the parents in that family are physicians through Marshfield Clinic, and they've, like I say, I think they've been here about 15 years already.
And tell us about the people who you see at the mosque. What are they like? What are their professions? What do they do in life?
They're pretty average people. I would say they're very highly educated. Most of them, maybe three-quarters of them, are probably physicians. There are also pharmacists and engineers.
So there's a pretty good chance if you go to the doctor in central Wisconsin, you might be treated by a Muslim doctor?
There's a very good chance of that happening, yes.
You're working with your husband right now to get asylum for his mother and father, your mother-in-law and father-in-law. Tell us about that.
Well, it's a long process. When my in-laws came, they didn't intend to stay. They were visiting us, and they had intended to go back home to Syria. But about a week before they were scheduled to fly back home, the dictator started bombing their city, which is Aleppo in Syria.
That's Hafez Assad?
Yes, yes. So Assad started bombing their city, and my husband and I had a decision to make, and that was whether or not we should allow them to go back home. And now the joke is always that neither of my in-laws speak English and neither can drive, so we told them if they could get to Chicago that they could go back home. But they stayed, obviously, and they were hoping to go home.
Are they in this country legally right now?
Their visas ran out, so they were hoping to go home. And we waited a certain amount of time before we started the application process for asylum because they were hoping that things would calm down. And when they didn't, that's when we started the asylum process. And
so they're true refugees.
They
would prefer not to be in the United States, but they feel they have no choice.
Yeah, they never imagined moving here. They never would have even visited if it weren't for me, the American daughter-in-law. They were here to visit their grandchildren and their son.
Now, we understand that your husband also has other family members, some still in Syria, some fleeing Syria.
Yes, he has two relatives that are in Turkey. I should say he has a sister in Turkey and a brother in Turkey along with all of their families. He also has three sisters and one brother who are still in Syria and two nephews in Germany.
And do any of them want to come to the United States?
No. they just want to get out. They just want to get to safety.
John Visti, as somebody who spent a great deal of time in the Middle East, give us your thoughts about Catherine's extended family and what they're going through right now.
It's a it's a horrendous situation in Syria right now. You've got the population in Syria has probably been reduced from about 22 million to less than 16 million. And there's maybe 8 million internally displaced persons within Syria. At least 4 million refugees are registered with the United Nations, and there's probably another 2 million that are not registered. So the numbers are just catastrophic. I mean, I think Catherine's family is maybe they're lucky in a sense because they weren't in a refugee camp, but they are here. So
you've seen people in war-torn situations, people in the camps in Palestine. How similar are your experiences to what people are going through in Syria right now?
I think it's much worse in Syria right now than anything I ever experienced. I think some of the worst refugee situations that I saw were the Palestinians in the refugee camps in Lebanon, because they had the similar to the Syrian refugees now is they can't work, they don't have any rights, they can't travel, they have nothing that they can. You want to say something, Catherine?
Yes, and even now in Syria, so there was a Palestinian refugee camp near Damascus. And it wasn't an official camp, but its majority population was Palestinians, and that was an area that the dictatorship, the government, fenced off and then starved. So you have these people who are already fleeing, who are already refugees from their own homeland, coming to Syria, and now they are trying to flee Syria as well because the conditions are almost impossible.
There has been, as you know, an outcry against settling Syrian refugees in this country and an outcry against even admitting Muslims since the French terrorist attacks and the attacks in San Bernardino. I'm going to play a short tape, and I want you to comment on the current situation and the rhetoric that we're hearing. Here's Donald Trump earlier this week.
Donald J. Trump is calling for a total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States until our country's representatives can figure out what the hell is going on. We have no choice. According to Pew Research, among others, there is a great hatred toward Americans by large segments of the Muslim population. Most recently, a poll from Center for Security Policy released data showing 25% of those polled agreed that violence against Americans, these are people that are here, by the way, 25% of those polled agreed that violence against Americans here in the United States is justified as part, think of that, as part of the global jihad. Until we are able to determine and understand this problem and the dangerous threat it poses, our country cannot be the victim of horrendous attacks by people that believe only in jihad and have no sense of reason or respect for human life. They have no respect for human life.
And Catherine Grable Khandakani, as a practicing Muslim, as a resident of central Wisconsin, as a student, as someone who's married to a Muslim, who is a technician, who's helping people get their eyesight cleared up.
A mother of three Muslim children and somebody who is going into medicine herself as well.
What's your reaction to that?
There are so many things about that are disturbing. Obviously, I don't know how many times Muslims have to say that the way that jihad is thrown around in the media is not the way that jihad is taught in Islam. at least not in mainstream Islam. Jihad, there are two different types of jihad. One is if you are attacked, you can fight back, obviously. If your religion is attacked with violence, you can fight back. But the greater jihad is always the jihad an-nafs, which is from inside, your fight within yourself to become a better person and a better practitioner. But what I find disturbing as well, and probably even more so because it represents a threat to my own security, is the level of hate directed toward Muslims. So I do have children who are in the schools, and I worry about them growing up here in America at the moment because there is a lot of hate directed toward Muslims, even here in central Wisconsin.
Donald Trump said 25% of all Muslims in the U.S. condone violence.
I find that very hard to believe, very, very hard to believe. Muslims represent the most diverse religious group in America, and they also represent the second most educated religious group in America.
Have you been personally affected? Have the Muslims you know been affected by the rhetoric that we've heard on the national stage since the California shootings and the French attacks?
I can't say whether it's directly related to the rhetoric, but I know that there is bigotry toward Muslims here in North Central Wisconsin. I've experienced it myself, and I know that friends of mine at least have perceived themselves to have been discriminated against.
John Vista, your reaction to what you just heard from Donald Trump?
It's frightening. I mean, I find it reminiscent of McCarthyism, of the rise of the Nazis in Germany. I mean, this vilification of a whole segment of the population, and which will cause those people to be frightened and draw back on themselves and not integrate with the society even further. So, I mean, it is a very destructive statement.
Now, Mr. Trump has been widely criticized by many in his own party over those remarks, including by presidential candidate and South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham. Let's listen to what Lindsey Graham said on CNN.
Well, I want to talk to the Trump supporters for a minute. I don't know who you are, and I don't know why you like this guy. I think what you like about him, he appears to be strong when the rest of us are weak. He's a very successful businessman, and he's going to make everything great. He's going to take all the problems of the world and put them in a box and make your life better. That's what he's selling. Here's what you're buying. He's a race-baiting, xenophobic, religious bigot. He doesn't represent my party. He doesn't represent the values that the men and women who wear the uniform are fighting for. I've been in the Air Force for 33 years. I retired this June. He's the ISIL man of the year, by the way. He is empowering radical Islam, and if he knew anything about the world at all, you would know that most Muslims reject this ideology, and they've died in by the thousands trying to combat this radical ideology. You're undercutting their efforts. You're slandering their sacrifice. You're marginalizing what they're trying to do to make the world a better place. You know how you win this war? You side with people in the faith who reject this ideology, which is 99%. And you know how you make America great again? Tell Donald Trump to go to hell.
Lindsey Graham. John, you obviously just heard that for the first time.
Yeah, I did.
Catherine Grable Condacani, your reaction to Mr. Graham's comments?
Well, one thing I'm relatively certain of is that he's right in that Donald Trump is probably the greatest proponent of ISIS at the moment here in America, because ISIS wants to form division. They want to make our society such that Muslims do not have any other option to feel safe other than to go to them. And at the moment, with the rhetoric that Donald Trump is presenting in the media, with the way that he is promoting bigotry, it's happening. It's happening as we speak.
John Visti?
I find it's quite reassuring, and it means that everyone in the United States is kind of rising to the moral high ground. And I was pleased to hear that, and also Paul Ryan came out with a statement earlier too. And so I think that, you know, there is some hope.
I'm Glenn Moberg, our guest today on Route 51, Catherine Grable Condacani of Weston, a UW Stevens Point biology student and a Muslim who's helping her husband get asylum in the United States for his mother and father, who are both from Syria. Also, John Visti of Rhinelander, who has spent 25 years in the Middle East working for nonprofits on humanitarian assistance and economic development. We would like to hear from you. Give us a call at 1-800-780-9742 or put a comment on the Route 51 Facebook page. I'll read it live on the air. That's 1-800-780-9742. We're going to take a break for our Wisconsin Public Radio Pledge Drive. Here's John Denver.
This is for the refugees, the ones without a home, a boat out on the ocean, a city street alone.
Thank you to the business sponsors who help support WPR programs. Businesses like Majestic Theater, Fox City's Performing Arts, and Wine Guys play a huge role in the success of WPR. Your business can join our ever-growing list of supporters. More information at WPR.org/sponsor.
Support also comes from Northwind Renewable Energy, Stevens Point, with a focus on renewable energy system design and installation, including solar, wood, and deep energy retrofits to existing buildings. NorthwindRE.com.
This wearsome land.
I'm Glenn Moberg. As the birds take us into the next segment of Route 51, our guests today are Catherine Grable Kondakani of Weston, a Muslim who is helping her husband get asylum in the United States for his mother and father, who are both from Syria. Also, John Visti of Rhinelander, who has spent 25 years in the Middle East working for nonprofit organizations on humanitarian assistance and economic development. 1-800-780-9742. If you'd like to give us a phone call, it's 1-800-780-9742. The question we hear from those who want to stop immigration from places like Syria is that we need to make sure terrorists aren't coming into this country. Catherine, your response to that concern?
I think that it's highly unlikely that we need to worry as much as we are. I think that it's ironic that we worry about a Syrian refugee crisis here in America at all, because we are not facing a Syrian refugee crisis here in America. In Europe and in the countries surrounding Syria, there's a Syrian refugee crisis. But in the past 4 years, we've only taken on 2,300.
Governor Scott Walker, like many Republican governors, has said Syrian refugees will not be accepted in Wisconsin, although legally there is not much he can do about it since it's a matter of national policy. Yet he has also condemned the rhetoric of Donald Trump. Here's a news story that my colleague Rich Kramer produced for the Wisconsin Public Radio News Network with the governor this week.
Governor Walker says his opposition to settling Syrian refugees in the state is a completely different issue than Trump's call to block Muslims from the U.S. He says one is about safety, while the other is an attack on religious liberty. But Walker says he doesn't think Trump's comments will hurt the GOP or U.S. credibility.
I think people around the world, around the country, and certainly here in Wisconsin, can distinguish between what one person says versus the beliefs of a whole group of people. And I think most people in this country recognize and appreciate religious freedom, because that's been such a tenet of the history of this country.
In November, Walker called on President Obama to suspend the settlement of 10,000 Syrian refugees, calling the influx a threat to safety. Rich Kramer, Wisconsin Public Radio.
So the governor says keeping Syrian refugees out is a security matter, but keeping out Muslims violates American concepts of religious freedom. John Visting, I'm going to ask you to comment on that first.
Well, as you said, Glenn, he doesn't have the authority to keep them out because it's U.S. government, it's federal policy. So, but he's and I think that he's making a distinction between Muslims and Syrians. Well, there's Syrian Christians, there's Syrian Druze. Is he going to keep all of them out too? It doesn't make any sense.
Catherine, how is the governor's perspective on this affecting your efforts to get asylum for your Syrian mother-in-law and father-in-law? Is it affecting it at all?
I don't think that the government is going to take Scott Walker's opinion into account into my in-law's asylum process. As John Visti said, it is a federal issue. It is not something that can be regulated on the state level.
Now, we've listened to three Republicans on this issue, Donald Trump, Lindsey Graham, and Scott Walker. Let's give a little equal time to the Democrats. Here's Hillary Clinton in an address this week.
Donald Trump, the Republican frontrunner, has made a name for himself in the last months by trafficking in prejudice and paranoia. His latest insult is his call to stop all Muslims from entering the United States. This is both a shameless and a dangerous idea. At a time when America should be doing everything we can to lead the fight to defeat ISIS and other radical jihadists, Donald Trump is playing right into their hands. And some of his Republican candidates are saying that his latest comments have gone too far. But the truth is, they are all driving the exact narrative that jihadists want to advance.
Now, Hillary Clinton says Donald Trump isn't alone in his anti-Muslim rhetoric. She says the other Republican candidates are doing the same thing. In fact, her campaign invited supporters to play an online game, Trump or Not Trump. It was a quiz in which you had to guess if Trump said it or another candidate said it. So let me start with you, Catherine. Your reaction to what Hillary Clinton said, is the problem just Donald Trump, or are you worried about rhetoric from other candidates as well?
I am worried about rhetoric from other candidates, but not quite to the same degree that I am about Trump. Trump is becoming almost an icon in American society right now. The media is heavily covering him, and everything that comes out of his mouth is having an effect on the lives of Muslims here in America right now.
Jeb Bush has said we should allow Syrian refugees, but only those who are Christians into the country. How is that substantially different, John Visti, from banning all Muslims?
I guess he's distinguishing Syrians only. Muslims are from other countries too, but it seems equally offensive, actually. Actually, there's not a large number of Christians who have tried to immigrate, as far as I know.
Yeah, approximately 93% of Syrian refugees are Sunni Muslim. Yeah.
Well, that would cut back quite substantially on the number of Syrians who are eligible to enter this country.
Yes.
Let's go to the phones. We have a shortened show here because of a pledge drive, but I want to get to John, who's on the road. John, you're on Route 51.
Yeah, just a couple of quick observations. One, if I'm hearing correctly, I hear that we shouldn't be fearing the refugees that are coming in. We shouldn't fear anybody trying to escape the tyranny that are happening in Syria, that we should welcome them with open arms. And then on the other hand, I hear how we should be fearing people who want to protect American interests as they see it, and we should be fearing what they're saying because what your group is saying is that they're in fear that their safety is going to be jeopardized, that people are going to take what people are saying, they are saying in opposition to what you guys are standing for, calling for, and use it against them. It's funny what you're fearing and what you're not fearing. I guess I see a little hypocrisy here that your cause and your position. The other thing that I would say is you called her mother and father-in-law refugees. They're illegal immigrants. They're here beyond their visa, and they've broken our laws, but yet you're calling them refugees. And in all honesty, I can't imagine that you didn't have any other intent when you brought your parents over. We are a welcoming society that certainly will welcome anybody who wants to come through and come through the right channels to become American citizens. But what you did is illegal, and you guys are supporting it. They're not refugees. They're illegal immigrants.
John,
I'm going to say one more comment about Lindsey Graham. You had him. Who is Lindsey Graham? He's got 1%. He's not a candidate for a Republican presidential race. Oh. Now he has 1%, and yet nobody's heard from Lindsey Graham until he sends great opposition to Donald Trump, and now you're plastering them all over the airwaves. Up until 3 days ago, when was the last time you got a quote from Lindsey Graham on your airwaves?
John, we got it. Thank you so much for the phone call. Let me give our guests a chance to respond to you. Catherine Grable-Condacani, we'll start with you.
Well, I will say that my in-laws never intended to live here. They never wanted to. And that they were just visiting when they came here. However, they are not illegal immigrants at the moment. Their visa has run out, but we have been visited by the Department of Homeland Security. The government is fully aware that they are here and their asylum papers are in. They have been fingerprinted and we are simply waiting for an interview.
John Visti, your response to what you just heard?
Well, just to support what Catherine just said, they're not here illegally. They're here, they've applied for asylum, which means they are legally here. And so I think there is a credible, I mean, yes, we have a threat. There are people outside who would like to do something to us, but we do have mechanisms within our security services to investigate and find out whether or not people are, in fact, a threat.
Our guests are John Visti and Catherine Grable-Condacani. I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51. We're going to take another short break for a Wisconsin Public Radio pledge drive. Here's John Lennon.
Imagine there's no country.
Supporters of Wisconsin Public Radio include Dental Health Associates, Eau Claire Chamber Orchestra, and Viterbo School of Nursing. Your business can join our ever-growing list of contributors. Become a business sponsor. More information at wpr.org/sponsor. Support also comes from Christine Bremer-Moogley of the personal injury law firm Bremer & Trollope, committed to protecting the rights of accident victims throughout Wisconsin. Bremer & Trollope, because the right results matter most. Bremer-law.com.
And we have just a few seconds left with our guests, Catherine Grable-Condacani and John Visti. Catherine, some final thoughts from you.
I guess I'd like to say that if people want to find out more information about the Syrian refugee crisis, the people who are coming in and the process that it takes to come to the United States, then they should probably look at respectable sources like the UNHCR or the World Health Organization. Both websites have a lot of information on how people are coming into the United States from Syria and other Muslim countries as well.
John Visti?
Just briefly, I think the majority of people that I've met over the years don't want to leave their homes in Syria, Palestine, Egypt, wherever. They want to stay where they are, and we can help them by supporting some of the United Nations agencies because they're in desperate need of funding for the refugees that are there.
And we will make them strong.
We want to thank today's guests, Catherine Grable-Condacani and John Visti. Thanks to our executive producer, Dean Kallenbach, our on-air producers, Jane Ritger and Lori Frazier. Special music today by Emmy Lou Harris, John Denver, The Byrds, John Lennon, Tom Petty, and Willie Nelson. I'm Glenn Moberg. Thanks for riding along with us today. Forward, as we say in Wisconsin. And until next week, we're heading out of town.
Living in the promised land.